And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Zero media, last night the last straw. I mean, the whole world saw the circus last night. Who was that guy with shoe polish on his head who thought he was so smart? I don't know who he was. So I started out by tweeting during the show on Facebook. You know, I kind of snoo for me. So my first one was, Huckabee looks like a twin for Bob Hope. I couldn't place him. I kept trying to figure out who Huckabee looked like. I said, darn, looks like Bob Hope. Fiorina, I said, I wrote, looks like a frigid beekeeper. Christie looks likable. Senator Paul looks dazed. Trump dumped the slimy CNB weasel. 10 minutes later, I said, go Cruz, attack the gluehead. Then Jim Cramer came on. I don't know what he was on. I don't know if Jim Cramer got the last supply of Mickey Rooney's drugs, but what was Jim Cramer on? What was he screaming about? Does Jim Cramer, the lunatic, want Cuban-style medicine? Government control of drug development? So I said, hey, Jim, how many new drugs were created in Cuba, Jim? These people are illiterates in the sense they don't know what they're talking about. He wants to attack the drug companies who are charging too much for drugs. See, I know a little bit about it because I worked for a master's degree in pharmacology at one point in my career. Do you know what it costs to develop a drug? Do you have any idea what it costs? You think it's free? That is why the ex-Soviet Union produced no new medicines. That is why socialist countries generally produce no new medicines. Only capitalist countries, which are willing to invest, what is it now, $1.2 billion to bring any new drug to market, develop any new drugs. It's called the profit motive, Schmendrick. Does CNBC belong behind bars, Jim, for lying to the American people, was my next tweet. Then I wrote, John Hardwood needs to be taken to the smokehouse. Then Kasich was spastic with the hands flying. I tweeted, is Kasich doing aerobics or debating? I thought he was exercising. Next, I said, CNBC gluehead attacks Carson below belt, gets booed. 5 minutes later, Rubio gets a Babe Ruth, does a Babe Ruth, calls MSM the Lib Super PAC and calls Hillary a liar. That was a great shot. I have no respect for Rubio. I called him the ice cream man. I would say the ice cream man cometh. Finally, I wrote, endless attacks on Repubs while Dems get to walk after a few hapless comments. Boycott all the debates. If I were the Republicans, I'd boycott all the debates from now on. I'd hold my own. I'd have Trump stage a debate. No more debates before these idiots. My last tweet was, when does this crucifixion end? How long must these decent people hang on the cross of liberal hatred? Now, I want to talk a little bit about that, but not that much. You know, you've heard it all morning probably. It's boring. It's old. I want to get some fun today, which is book clerk horror stories. You know, the nose ring types, the green hair, the green nose hair women. Those with tattoos on their souls. Book clerk store horror stories would be fun for the listeners. And then I'm going to talk about zero media. And I got to say this, you know, I just came from an interview with Larry King. He's still doing television for RT. And I enjoyed it very much. Larry is a liberal, a lifetime liberal. But you see, there's a difference between a liberal like Larry King and psychotic progressives like, well, CNBC, certainly MSNBC, as you well know. These are psychotic, dyed-in-the-wool lunatics. Liberal I could live with. He asked me reasonable questions, Larry King did. He didn't attack me. He asked me a question, showing his, you know, his viewpoint. He said, in Government Zero, you attacked the Pope for his positions. He said, what are you, against Jesus? No, he did it with humor. I said, no, I have nothing against Jesus. I said, I'm against the political Pope. He said, what do you really don't like about the Pope, Larry King? I said, he knows nothing. He knows as much about the climate as that when it rains, his assistants hold up the umbrella. So he said, well, what do you know about the climate? So I said, well, I have a PhD from a great university. I've written scientific papers, and I can read the literature. And I would like to see some of the evidence from the 2% of scientists who don't agree that global warming is caused by man. So Larry King says, you don't believe in global warming? But listen to what he said, believe in. You see, it's a religion now. So I said, Larry, can you have any evidence of global warming down in L.A.? He said, well, the Earth's temperature's been rising 1 degree, and he gives me a fact that's completely wrong. I said, that's wrong. It's completely false. We're actually entering a new cooling phase, Larry, but they don't know. Many of them don't know the realities. They're not bad people. On CNBC, they're bad people. Gluehead was a bad person. Between the shoe polish and the glue on his head, it seeped through the cranium. Questions that should have been asked in the economic debate include the following. How will you continue this alleged economic recovery that Obama has started? Answer, there is no recovery, and this economy is built like a house of cards. Page 248 from Zero Business Sense. Here's another question that should have been asked last night. Unemployment is down to its lowest level since early in the Bush administration. How will you keep it that way? Answer, that's a lie. More people are out of work today than there have been in decades. They fixed the numbers to meet their needs. Pages 251, 252, Government Zero. Next question would have been nice. The Fed has kept interest rates at 0%. Is this a policy you would continue to support? Answer, this is part of the big lie of the health of the economy. The dollar has become worth much less as a result of this policy and Obama printing money. Page 256. Next question would have been nice. Are you a supporter of the TTP and free trade? How come Hardhead didn't ask that? Why didn't John Hardhead ask that? Are you a supporter of the TTP and free trade? Answer. Free trade, the way it's designed, only benefits Wall Street, not the people. These deals Obama is crafting will do nothing but destroy American business and the economy. Page 258. Next question. Won't comprehensive immigration reform help the American economy? Answer. Letting anyone and everyone into the country will kill it faster than anything. Not only with low-skilled workers, but also the higher-skilled ones who are only let in here because they work cheaper than American workers. Page 265. One last question I would have asked. Is the current banking system working? Can a bank be too big to fail? Answer. The banks have too much power and influence over the economy. We need to repeal Glass-Steagall. Page 318 of Government Zero. I've given you my tweets. I've shown you questions. I'll talk about Zero Media. Because last night was the last straw for many of you. And you saw it in the first 2 minutes. Look, this was supposed to be a debate about economics. The first question is, what is your biggest weakness? Why didn't they ask that of Hillary Clinton? Why didn't they ask Hillary Clinton, what is your biggest weakness? To make matters worse, the candidates took it seriously and answered it. I wouldn't have answered it. I would have said, our biggest weakness is appearing before idiots like you. But the rest of the night unfolded the way it did. John Hardhead, a noted liberal hack, posing as an objective journalist, started things off calling Donald Trump a cartoon character, and it went downhill from there. It wasn't until Ted Cruz made clear that this was a clown show and not a debate that the rest of the candidates jumped on the bandwagon and began to fight back. Do we have Ted Cruz in clip four? Is that the one? Let's listen to clip four of Ted Cruz. We salute him today. Did a great job. Let's hear it.
The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. See? This is not a cage match. And if you look at the questions, Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
Now that's a candidate. And he was 100% right. And why the Republicans agree to appear before these liberal idiots, I don't know. They could just boycott them. You know, on page 65 of Government Zero, I ask where the media is when it comes to talking about the threats we face from ISIS and radical Islam. How they've lost the ability to see that their jobs are to be the skeptics and the truth finders about people in power. It's one of the most important checks on power that we've ever had, and they don't use it. They don't use it because they're proud to be a tool of those people in power. They use it to attack conservatives, not to attack an out-of-control liberal government. But they also believe that you, the people, are too idiotic to run your own life. On page 285, I tell you we have zero freedom of the press. They have allowed themselves to be left out of following some of the most important stories of our time. They blindly follow Obama's marching orders. They sit when told to sit, and they jump when they're told to jump, and they do it because they love him. Obama is the media's god. If they ever do ask him a tough question, they apologize for it. They will sit on stories if they're asked to and ordered by this administration. Let me tell you something, folks. Having zero media is actually more dangerous than having Obama. Because although we can see what is going on, there are millions who would rather watch home shows on HGTV or pregnant teenagers on MTV. And that's why my book, Government Zero, is so important. You have to be the one who picks up the torch and does the media's job. I've laid it out for you, word by word. Not only does it tell you what's going on, but what you can do about it. You have to be the champion. Zero media cannot be allowed to shut us down. You have to spread the word and hold your family and friends accountable. The country depends upon it. WMAL, Frank, go ahead, please. You're the first up this hour in the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure. What I wanted to talk about was the CNBC debate the other night and how terrible the moderators were and how well the candidates responded. What I wanted to take away from that is enough with the leftist, rightist, whatever moderators. We need somebody like you that is grounded in conservative principles
But I do it every day on the radio show. I have no power. I have no authority. The Republicans won't even come on the show. The only candidate who comes on the show is Donald Trump. Ask yourself why these Republicans, who are very good, I pick any one of them over Hillary Clinton, why won't they come on this show? Ask yourself that question. Do you have an answer?
I do. I think that their handlers won't let them come on. I would imagine
Wait a minute. So if their handlers won't let them come on the Savage Nation, but they go on a dunce's show like Porn Vanity, why won't they come on this show? What are they so afraid of? And what does it tell you about their inability to handle their handlers? If they can't handle handlers during a campaign, how are they going to handle a nation?
I agree with you 100%.
Look, I got to run along. I don't mean to be rude. We're running short of time, and I appreciate all the compliments. You're getting a free copy of the book just out this week, Government Zero, which, by the way, is doing terrific. It's flying off the shelves when it can be found, despite we're getting reports here and there, not everywhere, of book clerks hiding them, defaced copies being seen in stores. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? How many Republicans can dance on the heads of glue heads on MSNBC or CNBC? It doesn't really matter. Meanwhile, the Russians are buzzing our carriers. ISIS has continued to murder, rape, kill, kidnap, sell into slavery. And we're worried about jack-o'-lanterns causing global warming. That's right. Your idiotic morons in the federal government say that jack-o'-lanterns are causing global warming. They want to take away pumpkins from your children. I'm not making this up. This is an example of the lunatics who say don't use the word hard work. And certain lives matter and other lives don't matter. Pumpkins, according to the Department of Energy's website, contribute to global warming by decomposing into methane. And here's what the idiots in your government write. With the passing of Halloween, millions of pounds of pumpkins have turned from seasonal decorations to trash destined for landfills, adding to more than 254 million tons of municipal solid waste produced in the United States every year, says Obama's moronic idiot psychos at the Department of Energy. They go on. This Halloween, think of turning the seasonal waste into energy as a very important trick that can have a positive environmental and energy impact. So, folks, those pesky pumpkins are a greater threat than ISIS headcutters. This is your government at work. That's right. Those pesky pumpkins are a greater threat to your survival than any one of those Islamo-fascists that you may not have heard of. They go on. It's even more. It might be long until the 1.3 billion pounds of pumpkins we produce annually are nearly as important to our energy security as they are to Halloween. I suppose they should get the FBI to go to every jack-o'-lantern that's lit this Halloween and look inside and make sure that there's an appropriate candle, a candle that doesn't burn too much energy, nor to produce too much waste, because this pumpkin power is really a threat to our survival. That's right. It's pumpkin power. That's the world we're living in. That's how insane this government is. That's why I call it. Do I have to say the title? I'm not going to say it. You know already. You know the title. I'm not even going to repeat it. Why do I have to tell you? This is your idea of a rational government? These are psychotic university lunatics who couldn't even get a job teaching. The last refuge of the liberal, by the way, is the government. The last refuge of the incompetent liberal is not patriotism. It's in Obama's administration. These people are not even employable in universities. That's how stupid they are. They're below the level of MSNBC. So they wind up working for Obama. B.O.B., Mark, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Jacksonville's calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, I wanted to tell you, I went to Books A Million yesterday, and on the front aisles, there was Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, and everybody but yours. So I asked the clerk, where is Government Zero by Michael Savage? And he walked me to the back of the store and handed me a copy, and I looked at him and I said, why isn't this in the front of the store with the Glenn Beck and the Rush Limbaugh books? And he looked at me and said, well, we have the bestsellers in the back, too.
Yeah, well, look, let me explain something. I wear it as a badge of honor. I am the most feared member of the... Glenn Beck is a clown. Glenn Beck's not relevant anymore. We all know that. The only threat to this liberal juggernaut is Michael Savage. So wear it with pride, folks. When you find Government Zero buried in the back of the store, understand they're burying it for a reason.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7287.
Well, that was his goal. He hated the country that made him president, since he hates himself so much. It's a peculiar twist of narcissism, which I've studied recently. You may think that narcissists are in love with themselves, but they actually hate themselves. They fear that they're worthless. And so what they do is they have an inverted sense of self-worth. And then they destroy everything around them that doesn't confirm that they're so wonderful. That's why he hates America. It's a reflection of his own insecurities. You know, I don't know whether we survive this guy. We got so much time left. But, you know, you don't want to hear it. He's a wonderful man with such a nice family. By the way, speaking of the president's family, something occurred to me last night in bed. Sometimes I think at dawn more clearly than ever. I know that from when his younger writers would write that they get their clearest thoughts upon awakening when you're in that semi-dream state. You just stay in bed an extra 5 minutes in the morning and just let your mind sort through the dreams, subconscious, as you come into consciousness, and your thoughts will be clear before everything goes on, before the computers go on, etc. Two things occurred to me. One, we were told we were going to have a deluge here in the Bay Area, San Francisco, on Wednesday. For a week, people are running out of buying sandbags. Rain! Big rainstorm coming! Drought is going to end for one day! Then it's going to be nice on Thursday and Friday! Everyone bought sandbags. They were getting ready for a flood. It didn't even dribble. Now, the same idiots who told us that it was going to rain heavily yesterday tell us the world's coming to an end unless man eliminates his industrial might and starts riding in a rickshaw. That's number two. So what do they know? They know nothing. Nothing. They're sheeple. And then I thought about Michelle Obama. Remember how she used to jet around the world at your expense? Remember how arrogant she was with her trips with her daughter and her mother? Everywhere you turned, she was on another junket around the world. Have you noticed you haven't seen or heard from Michelle Obama in the last few months? And do you know concurrently who you haven't also seen nor heard in the last several months? None other than the inimitable, wonderful, Nobel Prize-winning climatologist, Al Sharpton. Not only did they throw him off MSNBC when they didn't need him anymore, they pushed him away from the public sphere and told him to dummy up and keep his mouth shut. They've disappeared Michelle Obama and him. Why? Because it's bad for the Democrats to be seen in those light. Is that simple? That's what I say. I mean, I'm just observing. That's all. I'm just observing. That's all. Just saying. Just saying. 855-407-282 is phone number. That's not a revelation. I'm not looking for a Nobel Prize or a Pulitzer. I don't need that. No need it at all. What would you like to talk about? I could ask you to give me the clown story. Play the clown music again. I'm running out of interest in all of these news stories. My mind's somewhere else. Okay, turn it off. I don't even like the clown music. Play some Beethoven. Let's see if classical music lifts my brain up. I think I'm burned out from the book. I think the strain is too much for me to talk about it anymore. No, I'm just thinking out loud, you know, just saying. This is one of the great strains in the history of a man's life, is to think of a book, write a book, edit a book, have the book published, and then get on the radio and talk about the book and do television for the book. It's very hard to do, and I don't think I want to do it anymore. I really don't think I want to do it anymore. I think the rest is up to you. If you want the message of Government Zero to get out there, of no borders, no language, no culture, it's interesting. As I said to you, I went on Larry King this morning. Yeah, I think his show is small on RT, but the guy is amazing. He asked me my age, and I told him, he said, I've got 8 years on you. The guy's in such shape. Must be the garlic. I don't know. Or all the wives, something. Maybe the garlic and the wives together is the secret to longevity. But nevertheless, he is a lifetime liberal. Brooklyn Jewish guy. We know he's a liberal all the way back. But not nasty in his questions. Just intelligent and probing. And it was amazing. He says, all right, Michael Sammet, you wrote Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. What do you mean by that? I said, well, Larry, I had to explain that every nation is defined by its borders, and that look what's happening in Europe as a result of the idiots who wanted an open borders policy. Even they're cracking down. So what do you expect to do? What do you want to be done? I said, put the military on the border with Mexico. So he didn't follow up with attacking me and spritzing me. He's not Bernie Sanders. He didn't give me a juicy spritz through the screen. The next question was about language. What do you mean language? There's so many different kind of people here. What are you afraid of? He said, you're afraid of the language Spanish? I said, no, I speak Spanish. I studied it for 7 years. He said, well, when you were a kid, didn't they speak many languages? I said, yeah, but they all spoke English. The official language was English. In all government publications. You couldn't vote if you couldn't read English, Larry. I said, in San Francisco, they have the ballot in, I don't know, 8-10 languages, so they get illegal aliens to elect these corrupt cronies, Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Boxer, Governor Brown. How do you think they get elected? They don't care about the taxpayer. They care about the illegal alien keeping them in their corrupt power structure. I said it nicely, but that's what's going on. I said, yeah, English only, Larry. He said, well, what are you afraid of? You're afraid of Spanish? I said, no, I like the language. So he says, well, you know, this is going to be the biggest population in California soon. Shouldn't you learn Spanish, and shouldn't we speak Spanish? I said, no, they should learn English. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. You don't go to Rome and tell the Romans in those days to learn Hungarian or whatever. There was no Hungary at the time. You tell them to learn French, for example, or German. No, you told those who are coming to Rome for the benefits of Rome to learn Italian. You're coming to my country because you love the welfare and you love the clean air and you love the police and you love the safety. Learn the language. Don't tell me to speak your tongue. I read the literature in Spanish. I studied it for 7 years. I never liked it particularly. I don't get along with the Spanish language. It's a tough language for me. I like French better. Just a personal thing. I like French literature better. I mean, how many times can you read Cervantes or with the windmill job? Aside from that, it's all communist literature they teach in Spanish anyway. You know, but anyway, let's put that aside. Okay, then he says culture. What's culture, Savage? What do you mean by culture? What do you mean there's no culture in America? I had to explain to him the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, going back to English common law, Magna Carta. I said, Larry, we have very little free speech left in this country. Take a look at what goes on college campuses today. A Christian can't pray. They can't talk about conservative things without being attacked by the goons. The left-wing insecure rats, the goons. They've eliminated free speech on the college campuses, Larry. I don't think many of these people in the media even know what they've done to this country. That's really what I'm trying to say to you. And it's an awakening that has to happen. Most of these guys are nice people. By the way, now the CNBC people were not nice. John Hardhead is an evil man. The girl, I don't know her name, is Quick. Where'd she get that name from? But whatever. She was quick to put down everyone on the stage. As I said, Larry, what's his name? Kramer? What's his name? The guy. Kramer? Jeff Kramer? What's his name? Jim Kramer. I don't know. Maybe it was Mickey Rooney's old stash. He ingested something before the show. Must have been something left over in Mickey Rooney's horror house that he touched when he walked in and accidentally touched the count of the four mica. But the man was so beyond crazy, screaming, drug company. I didn't know what he was doing. Jumping up and down like a mad jack-o'-lantern. All right, what do you want to talk about? Yesterday, today, tomorrow? 855-407-282. WVLK Radio. Jody, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hey, the debate last night, man, you know, what a joke. The mainstream media is, they are so full of themselves, and they are so, so biased. You know, I'm a born-again Christian, and I just don't understand why they can't tell the truth. Where has the truth went?
I don't have an answer to that. All I can say to you is that the media is responsible for having destroyed the American mind. The media is the problem. It's not the politicians. Never forget who destroyed America. It's the media that destroyed America. Because if there was a better media, we wouldn't have had clowns like this become president. If there was a better media, people like Pelosi, Feinstein, and Boxer would have been thrown out of office 20 years ago, or would never have been elected to begin with. But because they're on the same page, because they're owned lock, stock, and barrel, that's how people of that low caliber can stay in power for so long. I'm sending you a free copy of Government Zero. Phone number 855-407-282. Any topic is fair game, including the news. I want to do the news. And I have the leftover piece from the Newsmax interview that was good the other day. I have a couple of other little pieces. Let's start the Newsmax interview for a few minutes, and let's see if I like it. If I don't, I'll turn it right off. Let's hear it.
You are a borders culture, borders language culture guy. So to see the title of the book, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, No Culture, right away, I know it's not too optimistic a scenario you're painting.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just another book. It has solutions. It has the ammunition people need to convert a husband, a wife, a neighbor, a child who's been brainwashed in the government schools. They don't really know what's happening to this country. The machine is so powerful, Steve, as you well know. People have no idea. Remember the story came out about 2 weeks ago that the EPA spent $60 million a year on public relations?
Yeah.
External and internal? Okay, if a single department of Barack Hussein Obama spends $60 million to put out propaganda, what are they spending to make Barry look like a great patriotic commander-in-chief? $1 billion a year? $200 million a year? Take a look at the real story. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, but I don't want to go into Obama bashing. He bashes himself every time he speaks, if you really listen to what he's doing.
No, but you present a 40, as you mentioned, there are solutions, a 40-point plan to take this country back to the original intent in the ways the founders intended us to be.
I don't know about the founders. You know, this is another misnomer, and I don't want to split hairs here. Everyone keeps going back to the founders, and there's a little discomfort for me there for one reason. The principles were fantastic, but I think we all have to agree it was a little different, the country. Very homogeneous, predominantly white people, Native Americans who were disenfranchised, didn't vote. Slaves who were here didn't vote, right? Landholders, mainly white men, God bless them, they built a nation. And a small land area, small population. The rules are great if you are a religious person who believes in the Bible, follows the Bible, and I mean the Ten Commandments. I don't mean putting women in burqas and performing sexual mutilations on your young girls and blowing things up. I'm talking about the religion of peace called Christianity. That's one story. But now we're living in a pluralistic world, a multicultural world, for better or for worse. That's what we live in. But that's nothing new. Steve, I grew up in New York. I'm an immigrant son. I walked around the Lower East Side of New York. I walked through Chinatown. There were no signs in English. It was all in Chinese, right? In the Jewish area, it was all in Yiddish. In the Italian area, the signs were still in Italian. It didn't bother me. I'm aware of that. I'm not looking to go back to the horse and buggy or the musket. But we're not talking about that. When my grandfather came here, he taught me to be an American, learn English, love the country, it's the greatest place on earth. Unfortunately, we all know that's not what's happening. Now, this is old news. Everyone's heard this before. But I lay out in Government Zero, case by case, chapter by chapter, precisely what the decimation is, what Barry from Honolulu will likely do unless he is stopped, and I mean stopped legally. Don't get me wrong. I've called for the methods, and the first thing is exposure. It's knowledge.
each of the past two elections, especially the last one, I said it's the most important election of my lifetime and possibly in the country's history. And now I guess I feel that this one is even more important than the last one and the one before it. But this one really, like you said, if Hillary wins, if a Democrat wins, there may be no turning back after 4 or 8 more years.
No, there would be no turning back. We know she's as corrupt as Cattlegate. We know who she is. She's nothing new. Who's Hillary Clinton? A fresh new face? She's a corrupt harridan. We had 8 years of her running the country with her husband, my husband. Forget about the sexual antics. I frankly could care less. What I cared about was the corruption that surrounded the Clinton machine. That's what we need again?
All right. Sorry. You also say that Hillary and Republicans are in, at least this was a headline on Breitbart, I must confess, and I read most of the story, are in cahoots. In what respect?
New article today on WorldNet Daily. Michael Savage, Obama owns Republicans. GOP not divided. It's compromised. But yesterday's story was the bigger one, which is referring to, which is Republicans in cahoots with Hillary. What did I mean by that? I watched the hearings last week, the so-called Benghazi hearings, and I kept waiting for The Godfather Part 1 to appear, meaning the surprise witness. You remember the uncle from Sicily who comes in with the funny hat?
Yeah.
And he doesn't say a word, and the rat who was going to rat out the mafia suddenly dummies up because he looks at him. That was the end of the show, blew the hearings apart. Where was the surprise witness that the fake Republican interrogators could have brought in? And who are they? I named them in Government Zero. I named the generals and the admiral who Obama fired right after Benghazi. They were ready to send aid. They had the planes, they had the copters, they had the special forces, they had Delta Force. They were ready to go. Somebody said don't go. Somebody let the ambassador die and the bodyguards die. Somebody let that whole thing come apart. Who was that somebody? I don't know. Bring in the admiral who was fired by Obama. Admiral Gouette, by the way. Bring in General Carnahan, 26-year military veteran, African-American, in charge of the Africa Command. A great man, ready to help. Fired right after Benghazi. Why was he not brought in by the Republicans during their hearing on Benghazi? Because they were working with Hillary to anoint her. The establishment does not want Trump. The establishment would rather work with Hillary Clinton than with Donald Trump.
Right.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. So there was a silver lining to last night. Everyone knows not to trust CNBC, but, you know, if it has NBC in it, how can you trust it? Think of MSNBC. Think of NBC, think of CNBC. They exposed themselves for what they are. They were the biggest loser. John Hardhead is finished. He was rude. He made up lies. He looked like the Anchorman in a bad Hollywood movie. A classic lying pancake, made up Anchorman. You know, a pretty boy who's looked at herself in the mirror for too long. The narcissist who stares at himself in the pool of water and falls into the water and not even knows he's drowning. That's John Hardwood. So you can look at the silver lining. No one trusts the media to begin with. Now they trust them even less. And I'll leave this hour with one thought. It's time for the Republicans to refuse to debate anymore unless they control the format and they pick their own moderators. End of story. Agree or disagree. This is Michael Government Zero Savage, back for another 2 hours right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I guess I can't say hour number two, but it is hour number two on this Thursday. I don't know if it's replayed another day anywhere, but it's Thursday the 29th, and we hear from the Department of Energy that pumpkins are going to destroy the environment now because of the methane gas. Well, there's more hot air coming out of the media than there is out of all the pumpkins on the earth. Maybe you ought to cap their mouths with some corks if you want to prevent global warming. Well, we're talking about the debate, big deal. And I watched it. I wasn't going to watch it, but a friend of mine who's high up in the media food chain said, Savage, you've got to watch it. So I watched it. and I watched the usual attacks. The big loser here was CNBC. John Hardhead, I don't know who he is, never heard of him. The guy looked like a fool. His bias was, you know, he wore it on his sleeve. The guy with the glue head, I don't know who he was. When the camera came in too close on his head, you saw it was shoe polish and glue. It looked like he'd been held together with glue. I got to tell you, it just didn't stop. An embarrassment. And what was Jim Cramer on? That's what I want to know. Couldn't have been a burrito. But nevertheless, there were some winners and some losers. The biggest winner was Donald Trump. Every poll that is broader than just, let's say, right-wing polls shows Trump as the big winner. Rubio was anointed the big winner before the debate, and that's because the establishment has chosen him as the best candidate. You know, as I said to Larry King today, as I was interviewed on his little RT show, and I keep referencing Larry King because he is an icon in the media. Now, forget liberal or not, and he's 80 years old, and the guy has more energy than anyone I've ever seen next to me. I really enjoyed the interview. I think I'm going to invite him over for Knish in L.A. when I move down there. Or whatever I can buy him, a seltzer water. I don't know if they. I don't think they're allowed to sell it in L.A. anymore. It's too ethnic. But, you know, it was an interesting show, you know, in many ways, because he was a decent liberal, a good man, who asked pointed questions in my book, Government Zero. That's what I was on for. I don't enjoy the makeup. You know, I still have the makeup on my head. I don't know how people do this. It reminds me when they painted themselves gold during magic shows and died of asphyxiation. That's how I feel after I put makeup on for a television show. But it explains the limitation of the speakers on television. It's the makeup is blocking their pores, and I think that that's why their brains are limited on all sides of the aisle. But let's get back to the issue at hand. Everyone's talking about the debate, who won, who lost, who this, who that. The reason they anointed Rubio is simple. He is the establishment candidate. And he can talk, by the way. He's a good talker. He used Republican talking points. He was prepared to say what he was going to say, irrespective of what was being said. And he is a very, very good talker. He's a smooth talker. This guy is a smooth talker. Rubio is a talker. Unfortunately, that's the one quality we're all sick and tired of. I'll take a bumbler who loves America rather than a silk smooth talker like Rubio or Obama. I mean, we've had tens of years of great polished bloviators, right? Look at Obama, what a smooth speaker he is. And the nation's hanging on the brink of an abyss. So why did they pick Rubio? Think about this, as I said today. I'll say it again. I've said it on this show first. You have Sheldon Adelson, a billionaire Republican, supporting Rubio. You have Larry Ellison, a billionaire Democrat, I think, supporting Rubio. So you have two individuals supporting Rubio who want something from him. What do you think they want? In the case of Adelson, he wants to make sure there's a flow of labor for his hotel empire. And in the sake of Ellison, he wants a flow of H-1B visa workers to keep his costs as low as he can. That's one man's opinion. And that's why Rubio has been selected. And I don't think he can beat Hillary, by the way. That's the problem. He looks too much like a kid. And if only we had a media that's able to would be able to ask Hillary a question, like lying about Benghazi. Not one question about Benghazi. And by the way, by comparison, incidentally, who's the guy with the dungarees, with the glasses that did the Democrat debate? Nice guy, the CNN guy. Cooper. Cooper looked like a dignified individual compared to these clowns on CNBC last night. You got to admit, Anderson Cooper actually went up in status in my mind. He was far less biased than this jerk was last night. And this Miss Quick, I don't get that one. Where'd she come from? Who else was up there? Let's play the montage of John Hardhead trying to attack the Republicans while posing as a moderator in clip 03.
You've done very well in this campaign so far by promising to build a wall and make another country pay for it.
Right.
Send 11 million people out of the country. Cut taxes $10 trillion without increasing the deficit.
Right.
And make Americans better off because your greatness would replace the stupidity and incompetence of others.
That's right.
Let's be honest. Is this a comic book version of a presidential campaign?
Not a comic
that
book.
You give nearly twice as much of a gain in after-tax income to the top 1% as to people in the middle of the income scale. Since you're the champion of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. Don't you have that backward?
No, that's, you're wrong.
I talked to economic advisors who have served presidents of both parties. They said that you have as much chance of cutting taxes that much without increasing the deficit as you would of flying away from that podium by flapping your arms. As a preacher as well as a politician, you know that presidents need the moral authority to bring the entire country together. The leading Republican candidate, when you look at the average of national polls right now, is Donald Trump. When you look at him, do you see someone with the moral authority to unite the country?
And to the issue
no.
I want to go back, if I made it to the...
Governor Christie, you've said something that many in your party do not believe, which is that climate change is undeniable, that human activity contributes to it, and you said, quote, the question is, what do we do to deal with it? So what do we do?
Well, first off, what we don't do is do what Hillary Clinton and John Kerry and Barack Obama want us to do, which is their solution for everything. Put more taxes on it, give more money to Washington, D.C., and then they'll fix it. Well, there's no evidence that they can fix anything in Washington, D.C.
What should we do?
What we should do is to be investing in all types of energy, John. All types of energy. And I've laid out...
Being government?
No, John. John, do you want me to answer? You want to answer. Because I got to tell you the truth. Even in New Jersey, what you're doing is called rude. So,
I like Christie. You know, I was thinking about what a great group of guys and this woman up there, Carly, would make for cabinet. What a country we'd have. Can you imagine that when Trump wins, he gets to pick all these other people to run America for us in all the cabinet positions? I would put Christie in the Department of Homeland Security. He's a former prosecutor or U.S. attorney. Man, would I feel safer. I go to sleep better at night knowing that Christie was in the Department of Homeland Security. I would put, it's obvious where Carson belongs. He should be running America's Health and Human Services. That's clear. It's obvious where the others would go. I mean, Carly could run Department of Commerce, I think, right? I mean, I could pick cabinet positions for them that would make a much better nation than what we have right now. This is the Savage Nation. We are talking about not media bias, but the embarrassment of the media. They're basically finished. You had Miss Quick. You had this guy Hardhead, who is finished as a moderator. And then you have that other one. I don't know who he was. That guy with the polished head, with the shoe polish and the floor wax on his head. He was the worst of them, by the way. I don't know where he got that from. I don't know, but the point is that there's a conclusion to be made from all of this. It's simple. And that is no more debates. Republicans boycott any debate unless they control it. They stage it, and they pick their own moderators. And I'm volunteering right now to be one of the moderators of the next Republican debate. And believe me, I can ask questions without attacking the candidates to get real answers, to pull this country out of the mess that it's in as a result of the government media complex. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. What do you want me to do, mince words? They destroyed this country. They're the ones who destroyed the mind of this nation, the media. And it was never more clearly on display than last night. And just being a liberal doesn't make you a bad person, believe me. There are liberals who are reasonable and ask real questions, and if you can answer them, you answer them. But when you go after someone's genitals on stage, that's not the media at work. You know, and by the way, I said something very interesting today that I thought of last night. I almost wrote it down. I have a habit of writing things down next to my bed. I learned it from a distant cousin. I was a young kid in New York. I used to, you know how you learn when there's a big family around, you listen and you don't participate, but you learn, you listen, it seeps in your ears. And I was lucky enough to have a lot of intelligent, hardworking people in my family. And I remember there was a guy in Brooklyn I had never seen, but he was an engineer, and because he was educated, he was looked up to because we were an immigrant family by and large on all sides. And I forget his name. Let's call him Elliot. I don't know his name, Elliot. So they said, you know, Elliot, and everyone talked about him with this reverence and respect. They said, you know, Elliot writes things down before he goes to sleep that comes to his mind. He keeps a pad and a pen next to his bed. I picked that habit up then. Would you believe it? To this day, if I didn't write things down as they come to my mind, next to my bed, wherever, I couldn't conduct the life I lead. I run a website. I do a radio show. I write books. I do a lot of things. You can't remember everything. So I should have written this down, but I didn't, but I remembered it anyway. Just to show you, I don't need to write everything down. And it occurred to me that the CNBC interrogators were tougher on the Republicans, even though they're supposed to be moderators. They were tougher on the Republicans than the Republican Benghazi committee was on Hillary Clinton, which, by the way, was a mini trial. Now, no one said that but me. You didn't hear it this morning on the Bloviator number one. Michael Savage Insight. You'll hear it tomorrow or next week somewhere else. And listen to what I just said. It's a keen insight. It's probably the number one golden observation of last night's debate, and it's original to the show, and it's important enough for me to repeat it. The interrogators on the CNBC panel were tougher on the Republicans than the Benghazi committee was on Hillary Clinton. And the Benghazi committee was a sort of a grand jury. That's what, you know, Senate hearings are. They are, in essence, grand jury trials, or grand jury hearings, rather, to see if there should be a trial. And they didn't ask Hillary any real questions. They didn't bring any surprise witnesses. They went lightly on her. But look at what happened last night. Am I wrong or am I right? You know I'm right. I'm always right. Because when I'm wrong, I catch it, I correct it, and change it. That's how I've survived. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. This is the Savage Nation. KSFO Mark, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, just calling in to report on the availability, or I should say the non-availability.
Who's burying Government Zero now?
Walmart, actually, in Mountain View, which is not too far from San Francisco, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I was told Walmart bought a ton of books. What, they're not even in the store?
Not even in the store. They have a section that's about a third of an aisle that says bestsellers, and another section that says...
So go to Barnes & Noble, go to Barnes & Noble, go to Books A Million, you know, and I'm sure you'll find it underneath feminine hygiene.
I mixed two managers. They said that Walmart doesn't control the book supply. They said a company named Anderson does, and they sent me to the back two aisles where the books section is. It's actually in the back of the store, and I looked and looked. I shouted for them behind the door that said...
Did you talk to Anderson? What did Anderson tell you?
Find him. Couldn't find him.
Anderson was probably ordering Jenny Has Five Mommies.
Or Libres Español. That's what the largest section was.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're still waiting for the buyers of those books. All right, you're getting a free copy of Government Zero right now. It's doing very well. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm desperate. But, you know, those of us in radio who have no friends in the media, or few friends in the media, let's put it that way, those who are not members of any in-crowd or fraternity or sorority, we have to do it ourselves. And I realize it's hard for the audience to listen to it every day for 5 days. But, you know, this is my only shot at getting you to recognize how important this book is to America. And frankly, how important it is to you to have the information in order to fight the people who are blind to what's going on, let alone antagonistic to this country. That's why I wrote the book. It's that simple. And I hope you'll check it out at a bookstore. And I know it's everywhere. If it's not in Walmart's, you'll find it in Barnes & Noble. I know it's on Amazon. I know it's in Barnes & Noble. I know it's at Books A Million. And it's a lot of places. So it's not like it's being banned, you know. And that's the third report I've had on Walmart, by the way. What would you like to talk about? 855-400. This is a great caller on another topic altogether. No book. Jason K. Eugene in Oregon. Wait, go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering what your strategy is. Basically, this psychological warfare. If your message is suppressed across the country, you kind of are like John Connor with carrying a message to lead a resistance. And how do you replicate more John Connors like you? How do we get started? Do you have a ham radio backup?
Oh, wait. Who is John Connor?
Leader of the resistance in the Terminator movies.
I'm sorry, my friend. I don't know the movies, but you're saying I'm sort of like a resistance leader, an underground resistance leader, trying to get a message out to America. And I don't know whether you're being facetious or serious. I don't know. But you're asking how I do it. First of all, I am honored and blessed to have a daily radio show on 250 stations, most of the big ones, in drive time on the East Coast. So don't think that I'm not being heard. I am. I have a huge audience. But how do you filter that down? Isn't that what you're asking to the mass public?
Yes, you kind of could learn from the Jesus idea about making high concepts more understandable to the dumbed down American public. No offense to our people, but we have.
Well, my friends, let me tell you something. If you have a title like Government Zero, people will stop and say, "What does that mean?" Don't you think that's something that even the average rap star can understand?
I agree. And then after your message is received, do you have actual practical tactical plans for?
Yes, 40 solutions to save America is the last chapter of the book. It's not just complaining by an old white guy. And maybe I should read those plans. I didn't finish them. They're really good. They're really good. I'm going to send you a copy, though, Jason. Deport all illegal aliens in American prisons. How's that for a plan? I didn't say all illegal aliens like Trump. I said start with those in prison. Who would disagree with that one? Except the prison lobby.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
I mean, think about it. The idea of me being on the radio now is shocking, that I've survived 21 years. Every impediment known to mankind was thrown in my way from the beginning. And I overcame them with the help of somebody up there. I mean, somebody up there likes me, I'll tell you that. But nevertheless, I have to keep repeating. So I'm on a guy's show this morning, Larry King. This guy is an icon. Of course, he doesn't have a show anymore. He has a little show on RT. But I keep going on about it because he says he's got 7 years on me. The guy's over 80, and he's still doing a show. No one wants to give this up. Don't you get it? Nobody wants to give up when they're in the media. Nobody wants to retire. Nobody wants to quit. And yet last night you saw people who don't have the right to be in the media. You could be a liberal, that's fine. I don't mind tough questions, but I don't like vicious underlings who pretend they're moderators when they're operatives. It's that simple. But could you imagine if I'm still on the radio in 10 years? Or worse yet to the liberal, what if I'm not just on the radio? I did the Newsmax TV. And everyone says, my God, are you photogenic? Blah, blah, blah. Why don't you do TV? I don't want to do TV. But my message is so important, I'll probably keep writing. I don't know what's going to happen, truthfully. You know, the world is in such a state of crisis right now. Nobody knows what's coming tomorrow. And I was thinking about my own life, looking back and the life of a nation, how much of it is based on chance. How many seminal things have happened to me in my life as a result of chance, not planning, right? The best laid plans of mice and men and all that. You plan, you make a path for yourself, you go down a certain road. And usually things that really change the course of your life, tell me if I'm wrong, have occurred by chance. Well, let's say equally. An equal number of things come to your life by chance that changed the course of your life, right? Robert, would you say that's true? Like, let's say the woman you met, Robert. I'm not going to ask Robert. You didn't have an arranged marriage, did you? No, Robert's family. I'm not trying to pry. I know he's engaged. God bless him. But how did he meet the young lady? By chance, right? Things happen by chance. And like, let's talk about the nation. No matter what they plan for us, there's always a chance that it won't work out for Obama. It won't work out for the New World Order psychos. There's always something coming out of the side mirror that you don't expect. Did Obama actually expect Putin to start bombing ISIS? No. The sorority told him they had Putin boxed. They were destroying the ruble, running his economy off the ground. That'll teach him for meddling in Ukraine. We'll do what we want. We got him beat. Don't worry, Mr. Obama. We got him. We got him. We got him. And all of a sudden, he's starting to bomb in Syria. What happens? All the pink ties come out of Washington and start to mumble and do the mumbo jumbo. And Putin does the right thing. He starts to destroy ISIS. So what does Barry do? He launches a Green Beret raid. Not to rescue Americans, by the way, because so far as I know, there are no American hostages. Who does he try to rescue? No Christians, by the way. Who did Obama waste a Green Beret on? Whose life was lost? To rescue some Iraqi soldiers. That's who. Now, you think about that one. Think about that one, that little very, very public display of his commander-in-chiefing last week. So a very brave American Green Beret dies. But did you see the helmet cam of that one? Wow. That was an astounding story. Oh, it's up now. It's on Drudge. They bought rotating ads on Drudge. I was so mad at the publisher today. It comes and goes. I said, get a fix there. New from number one New York Times bestselling author Michael Savage, Government Zero, No Borders, No Language, or Culture. Buy now, learn more. So it's on Drudge now, but it's intermittent, it's fleeting. You got to buy. Let me tell you something about advertising that I've learned over the years. If I can tell you something about marketing and advertising, rotating ads don't work. Fixed ads work. Rotating ads don't work. You pay more, you get more. It's that simple. Because people, you know, you click and it's gone. The next thing is for toilet water. Yeah, watch, I'll click it now. Watch what comes up. Buy Clorox. There, gone. A chicken comes up next. I swear to God, my book disappeared and a rooster came up. Now, that wouldn't be a bad bad cover picture, a rooster on Government Zero. I think I'll use that in my next cover, a rooster with a hat. It's unbelievable. Do you mind if I just let off steam? I need to hear some old rock and roll. I need to relax a little. I was looking at real estate this morning in New York on the internet. You know, I own property in here, there, a couple of places here, a couple of places there. You know, the one place I have never bought anything over all these years is New York City. And here I am, a guy from New York City. I knew the real estate was booming. Like, I was there like 4 or 5 years ago on a yacht on the Hudson River, 3 years ago. And real estate was already running away like crazy, so someone in my family says, I think we ought to buy an apartment in the meatpacking district. So what does the genius Michael Savage tell him? Don't be crazy. Don't buy in the meatpacking district. It's a horrible area. It's full of junkies and transvestites at night. You don't want to buy there. It went up about triple in the 3 years. So I have no knack for real estate. I got to tell you, one thing I'm proud of is I have no business sense. I'm proud of that. I'm actually proud of it. I'd like to. I wish my genius was more mathematical. I wish I had the brains to have bought real estate in the 1970s instead of searching for cures in the jungles that produced nothing for me personally, but maybe gave the world something. So my son says to me, Dad, he says, stop looking back and regretting what you didn't do. He said, don't you understand that all those years of searching in the forests and looking for plants and being in the health food business and studying nutrition and trying to better human health and writing about trees, don't you understand that that's all part of you? That's what makes you. That's what makes you so far-seeing right now in the world of politics. He said, you've always been 20, 30 years ahead of your time. Go back to your nutrition books. I don't want to use an overly used word, which is I'm blessed with, but I'm really blessed with a great family. You talk about chance. I got to tell you something. I've had some very dark moments in my life. The darkest moments I had in my life were legal. And they freaked me out. I hate law cases. I don't like them. Nobody likes to be involved in a lawsuit. But I was dragged into a lawsuit. I had to go into a lawsuit to survive in this business. It cost me 3 years or 2 years and $1 million to beat one of the most evil families on the planet, in my opinion. And I pounced them. I wrecked them because they lost at every level. Now they're appealing it to the Supreme Court, if you can believe this. They know they can't win. The Supreme Court won't take it. I haven't collected 1 cent that was stolen from me. I haven't collected one of my audio tapes going back to 1994, the year 2000. It's all owed to me. Arbitrator said it's owed to me. The district judge said it's owed to me. It was then upheld by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Very liberal. So what does the people do who know how to manipulate the system? They keep appealing it. They would rather give the money to lawyers than to those that they have cheated or tried to destroy. Now, in those darkest moments, darkest moments of that lawsuit, which was a long time ago, I had a family to rely upon. And I got to tell you, I don't know that I could have survived it without a family. I was very fortunate that I had a family. And you have to understand what family really is. You don't really know what your family is until you don't have them. That's something that people who have a family understand. And those young guys out there who are listening to me, who think that it's too tough to marry a woman and to have children and it's better to just have fun and sow your seeds and this and that, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. The only thing to remember is this, young man. Listen to me, because I've said it to guys and I see their eyes light up. You know what I say to them? I say to them, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. And suddenly a bell goes off in their head. See, most guys don't understand that. I say to them, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. You say, what's the revelation? Well, it's quite a revelation, the guys who were given to hedonism. And they have to understand that as they get older, what are they going to have to show for what they've done with their wild oats? Nothing. Nothing. Them in an apartment? That's it? More parties? Your hair is falling out. You got the hair plugs and you're still running after girls. That's an exciting life for you. No children, no son, no daughter, nothing, no continuum in life. I'm not saying if you don't have children, you're not a person. Don't get me wrong. There are many fine people who choose not to have children. That's not my point. The predominant majority of people should have families in this country. The good people, the smart people, the good genes. And, you know, I've said this over and over again to gay people over the years. And the smart ones get it. I said one of the reasons America is suffering right now is because some of the smartest, most talented people in the country are not having children. They're politically active, but they're not having children. And so they get the message. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're suffering. It's the hedonism. It's the drug, sex, and rock and roll. But I don't want to go down that road right now. And I didn't mean to get too preachy. I didn't want to go into the sexual area. I just wanted to stick to the high road of what family means. It's that simple. And I guess it goes back to my digression a little earlier of how has chance affected your life? And can chance affect America's future history? Can chance intervene right now? Look at what happened to us when so many good people thought that Barack Obama was an honest, caring, America-loving man. Look how you were hoodwinked. Many of you voted for him because you said anyone but Bush. You wanted nothing to do with war. That's a good sentiment. Nobody wants war. Only a fool wants war. But the fact is, he lied to you. He lied to you. He's a Machiavellian, self-interested individual, period, surrounded by the worst people America's ever had inflicted upon it. So look what chance did to this country. You took a chance on Barack Obama. You know you were lied to. What, now you want to take a chance on Hillary Clinton when you already know who she is? Many of you don't like Hillary Clinton. I've met liberals who say, you know, I really don't like her. I actually hate her. But I'll never vote for a Republican. Well, that really makes sense. That really makes sense. That makes as much sense as my relatives whose grandfather landed in New York City like my grandfather did and never changed their politics from when the time they were socialists off the boat from Russia. They can't evolve. They can't grow. What's the matter? Someone's going to say, oh, you voted for a Republican? What's going to happen? You're going to be ostracized from the Mahjong game? You'll be thrown out of B'nai B'rith? I mean, what's going to happen if you vote a Republican? It's called a secret ballot. I don't understand how people get stuck in the past like this. I don't understand it. They take a look around and they see the devastation that has been wrought by this administration. All right, I made my point. I've been on my high horse. I'm on my soapbox. Got it out of my system. Before we go to the next caller, let's have some rock and roll. We played something like Eddie My Love. You're taking the Q44A and the richest kid in the school has a new Chevy convertible. How's that for a beginning? Donald Trump is across Union Turnpike being driven in a limousine. You're riding a bus in the slush. How's that? How's that for a little beginning? You go to a Dante's Pizza on Union Turnpike and it smells like vomit. I'll be right back. What language do you need to speak to understand this song? How about American? About speaking American and knowing the history of Buddy Holly. Put that on the citizenship exam. Who was Buddy Holly? What were his biggest hits? And in what years was he prominent? Look at the ratings came in for last month. They're great. My ratings for the month of October came in. I'm not allowed to read them to you, but I'm doing great on WABC. I'm doing great on KSFO. I'm doing great on WLS in Chicago, WBAP. These are the early ratings. And I want to thank you for patronizing the show. What else can I say? Radio is king. That's it. That's the whole thing. Without radio, there'd be nothing. What would I have? If I left radio, what would it be? I'd have to do like one of the shows that people do in their house with two Dixie cups and a string and a hot light. And they hook it up into their computer and they think 18 people are watching it. And they're famous. They got a studio. There's guys who build studios for themselves for $500,000 and have 12 people watching them. So I'm thrilled to death here. Never thought that. Do you ever dream for something in your life and you don't think you're going to have it? Like you remember when you were a kid, you wanted to be a ball player, let's say, or an astronaut, whatever that was at the time. No, the only kid who wants to be an astronaut right now. Most kids would rather be a porn star than an astronaut to show you how debased the society has become. You ask an average kid, what would you like to be? Says, when my kids were young, astronaut, ball player. Now it's probably porn star or web operator, which is one and the same thing. Talk about cultural, decline. Well, as we slide into the end of hour number two here, I would be remiss if I didn't tell you that I'd love you to go to Barnes & Noble or Books A Million or Amazon right now and buy a copy of Government Zero and send the message to Washington that you exist, you agree with the message, and that you vote. It'd be nice. It'd be nice if every listener to this show bought a copy, but I don't expect that to happen. So I've been giving a lot out, and we'll do our best and hope for the best. We'll know by, I'll let you know by next Wednesday what happens. The way the book business works, books come out on a Tuesday. For whatever the weird reason is, they publish them on Tuesdays. And then they count the sales from that Tuesday through the following Monday, I think, or something like that. And then they report it on Wednesday of the following week who the winners are and who the losers are. And it's everything in the first week. It's like a movie. You ever see the actors go on tours when their movies come out? They don't want to do it. They reluctantly do it. But even the big shot actors have to go do their tours, don't they? Right? Johnny Depp, whatever. Whoever the big stars are, they got to do the tours. De Niro's got to do the tours and the ha-has and the hellos and these shows and that shows. They got to promote their movie because it's all in the first weekend. They blow that first weekend. The movie's already made for television. Well, hopefully books are a little different than movies, and hopefully people who consume books are a little more, let's say, looking for a little more depth than a movie, although I myself love film. And I hope you'll be one of those people to look into what I mean by Government Zero. No borders, no language, no culture. So we might just have a chance of having a border, some language, and some culture.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There must be someone who plays the saxophone and knows how they do that. Young man from L.A. who listens to me. Can you do the horn like that? Call the show and play on the air. Here we are, hour three. Hour three. It's Thursday of Book Hell Week. That's something interesting to tell you. No, in radio, you know, you learn that every second counts. It's a medium about timing, isn't it? Do you ever notice that the really good ones in radio have a sense of timing? Everything has to be to the second. You can almost feel it like a musical thing. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. But, like, during breaks, I have guys counting me down from across the studio, like, how much time? You hear me yelling, 3 minutes. Then I'm, like, gagging on a burrito, as I just did. The beans are falling off my mouth. I'm wiping, I'm gagging, I'm drinking a soda. How much time? 30 seconds. It's like, whatever you do, you can't do anything without asking how much time do you have. It's become my mantra, how much time? I guarantee you, when they're lowering me in the ground, the last thing they'll hear muttering is, how much time? And the answer will be, your time is up. these are hard weeks. I call it Hell Week, the week your book comes out. Ask anyone in radio, because it's tough. I mean, you got to figure a way to talk about the book without alienating the audience, because you can't talk about the book to the exclusion of everything else. And it's a tough tightrope to walk on, to keep you listening, keep you interested, and tell you how important your book is. It's that simple. And I hope I have done a good job for you so far this week. I don't think I've overdone it. You know, when I say to you, here are some liberal statements, for example, and how to answer them with comments from Government Zero, I think that's a good way to do it. Or last night's debate, more to the point. You saw what went on last night. How long have I told you about Zero Media? How long have I defined it as the government media complex? It was never more clearly on display than last night, right? And many of the people up there were so dignified, it was fabulous. I don't know why they didn't just get up en masse and walk off stage and leave those vaudevillians to argue with each other. The girl could have done a striptease. The hardhead could have done, something about putting on makeup in front of a mirror, how much he loves himself. And the other guy could have done something about how hair looks better with shoe polish on your head. Let's listen to clip number 12 on The Savage Nation.
Well, I think they obviously had an agenda, and when I compare them to the kind of questions that were asked of the Democrats in their debate, the difference is night and day. But the thing that was really encouraging to me is that the audience was able to pick up on the bias, and they were able to act accordingly. And I hope some of the media is starting to recognize this, because as you know, I have been quite critical of the media. They have their own agenda. They try to formulate the opinions of the people. And I think the people are getting a little sick and tired of it. I know I am.
Yeah, well, there is an answer, Mr. Carson. And the answer is quite simple. Boycott any future debates. That's my opinion. You want a debate? Let the individuals who are running for office set their own terms, book their own auditorium, book their own audience, and I don't know, I'll volunteer. I'll be one of the moderators. How's that? I'll even send them the questions in advance, and it won't be, is this a clown show? So what questions would I ask now that I come down to it? Here, I'll give you a few examples, and I'm going to make them up. I don't have this written out in front of me, so pardon me if they're not perfect. I'm a little tired right now. I've been doing too many interviews day and night. And the first question I would ask the entire group of candidates, something that they wouldn't ask Hillary Clinton, would be, what will you do to restore the military that has been decimated under Barack Obama? What steps would you take? It's a simple question. It says everything, isn't it? Got a little bias built in, but it's not a personal undercutting. Question number two to all the candidates up there. What strategy would you use against ISIS to make up for the nun war that Obama has not fought against them? Question number three. On the issue of religion, what would you do to restore Christianity in the United States of America and protect it around the world, since it's under assault by the government, in universities, and in the Middle East? Next question. What would you do to seal the borders? Not if you would seal the borders. What would be the first step you would take to seal the borders with Mexico? Next question. Let's make it about culture. What would you do to stop Hollywood's assault upon the family, short of censorship? How would you encourage Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Geffen to stop attacking the family, Christianity, God, and country? Next question would be something along to do with business. What would you do to strengthen the U.S. dollar so that people have faith in our currency again? Very simple question. To the candidates on the stage, what would you do to reestablish free speech in the United States of America? Speech which is under assault in the universities and in the press. Keep your mouth shut and obey. Next question would be, since Obama has tried to destroy the American police in this country, what would you do to reinvigorate people to going into police departments? How would you stop Obama's endgame of a national police force? Those are some of the questions I would ask, and they all come from my book, Government Zero. It's that simple. How's that? Good? Sam, KSFO, welcome to the program. What's your topic? Oh, my L.A. saxophone player, young man, young man, young man. So when I hear that horn, what was the song that we were playing, Robert? Speedo, and then the horn. What is that horn? Was it alto or sax? I mean, what is an alto sax? What is it, or a tenor sax?
I think it was I sound like a tenor. I only caught the tail end of it.
Could you actually play something like that, where he goes, the whole thing?
Yeah, you know what? No one can do that anymore. I can't even do that.
Oh, come on now. So you mean no one can do that?
Here we go.
Come on.
I mean...
Okay, hold on. Now, let's go back to the song. What was it, Speedo? Let's play Speedo, and let's listen to this piece of saxophone music I'm referring to, because I don't know how anyone could do this anymore. 13-year-old kid, I wished I could have played the saxophone, but I didn't. So, Sam, you're a great saxophone player. Sam Gendel is one of my listeners. He once sent me a book called, what was it about, the poem book you did? What was that, Sam? Tell the audience.
It's the found poetry of Dr. Michael Savage.
He took my shows over the years without my knowing it, and he extracted certain words from my monologues and basically set them to music. And he wanted to publish the book, and he sent it to me, and I said, I'd rather you didn't. But the I think you called them radio poems. I don't know what you did. They were really good. You took the essence of my words and reduced them to poetry rather than using full sentences. You used only partial parts of the sentences, right, Sam?
Yeah, just the distillation.
Distillation. You made vodka from the wine. So, Sam, how's the world of being a young musician today? Can you make a living at it?
Not the way I want to make a living at it.
Well, I wish I could help you. Okay, before you go, Sam Gendel, can anyone buy your CD? What do they do to find your CD? Because you're a great saxophone player.
They go to my website, which is just samgendel.com, S-A-M-G-E-N-D-E-L.com, and that'll link you to everything.
Okay, my friend, I hope that your sales go through the roof. And Sam, stay in the line. I'll send you a copy of Government Zero. I don't make any money off that. I'm not greedy. I haven't spoken to this young man in a long time. I want to help people is what I want to do. All right, let's get some callers going on the Savage Nation. Jason on KSFO, San Francisco. Jason, what you calling about?
Well, I have a pretty good story for you, sir. I live in a crazy liberal state of California in a crazy liberal city outside of San Francisco. And I went in to get your book yesterday at Barnes & Noble, and you'll be happy to hear that it was right up front, right between the Bill O'Reilly book and Ben Carson. I then took the book up to the 24-year-old cashier, and she says, you know, I've sold three of these in the last 30 minutes.
Where is this? Barnes & Noble where?
Well, specifically, it's in Dublin, California, which is out in the East Bay, east of San Francisco.
Oh, come on. That's not San Francisco. That's like saying Queens is a Manhattan. You know, I love Dublin, but you know, San Francisco is a whole different universe. But anyway, it's a good news story, my friend, and I thank you for reporting as one of my field lieutenants out there in the Savage Nation. All right. That's the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Can you imagine what the cars in the kids had? So listen to this. During a break early, I went out on the deck and I took a picture of Teddy asleep in the sun. I put a copy of Government Zero next to him. You know, I've been doing that on my Facebook. People love, you know, it's like pictures of the dog seem to attract more response than anything else. And, I didn't know how Facebook worked. It says, dozing off is performing better than 95% of your recent posts. So I make a little headline. I'm like, dozing off in the sun after another chapter. So there's Teddy Fluffball. So I look at some of the things people are writing, and people write the funniest thing. Wait, I got to read you some of these things. One of them says, Brandon Mikowski says, after reading Trickle Up Poverty, Trickle Down Tyranny, and now Government Zero, Teddy is now smarter than the talk show hosts that compete with you. God, that's terrible. Next one says, Art and Gene Valero say, Michael, what chapter in Government Zero is Teddy on now? And Teddy is so handsome, I sure wish I had more time to pass the days to read more of your book. And then there's a picture of other people's door. Oh, here, on the table in front of Barnes & Noble in Arlington, Texas, from Carla Trent Rogers. Then I got pictures of other people's poodles. Randy Scott says, I guess my female toy poodle, Shrimpy, is a man-hater. When I showed her Teddy's picture, this happened. Well, by the way, she's 15. I hear little dogs live long. I hope so. I really don't know. I don't really want to look forward. Anyway, next one. That black toy poodle. Someone put my book inside their bed. That's hilarious. Please don't let it do what on it. Come on. That wouldn't be nice. Next one. Teddy is smart, too. Reads only good books. Here's a guy who took a picture of his dog next to a glass of Guinness on a bar. Top of a bar. I like that. Pizza. Go, Pete. Tracy, you go, Teddy. Love your posts of Teddy and very much enjoyed reading Government Zero. I was frightened and yet invigorated by reading it. God be with you. I think God gave up on me. I'm not so sure. I think he's busy on Mars. Since they found water, I think he's trying to populate it with conservatives, since there are so few left on the earth. Here's more. Very good. So I envy Teddy. He is living a life, saving the world. Oh, here's funny. Laura Red Chantou says, saving the world is exhausting. Then Tisha writes this. Tisha Vigil says, it's actually sunny in the Bay Area. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of the climatologists told us we were going to have a rainstorm yesterday. People bought sandbags. They were putting plastic sheets on houses. Oh, yeah. All of the climate scientists have told us that the world's coming to an end because of global warming. They absolutely, within 100% predictability, said there was going to be a huge rainstorm yesterday. It didn't even sweat. There was more moisture produced by me bicycling around the block than came out of the sky. Eh. Here's another one, says, Teddy is trying to figure out how come liberals chase their tail more. Come on. David Mitchell says, Teddy is trying to figure out how come liberals chase their tail more than dogs. And it wore him out this badly. Oh, Scott was offended by the full frontal yesterday. Okay, I understand. That's a little sensitive. Scott Evans says, this is better, not full frontal like yesterday. You know, that's a sensitive issue with dogs. But they lay on their back. What are you supposed to do? Put chimpanzee pants on them? I mean, a dog has a thing, you know. What are you going to do? I know, but you post a picture and they think. Chet Martin says, Dr. Savage, I was treated terribly when I went looking for Government Zero in a local establishment located in the Hamptons. Said establishment told me to stop coming in and asking for Michael Savage books. The store is called Book Hampton. So go to a Barnes & Noble. Forget them. That's all. They're liberal idiots. They don't believe in freedom of the press. Screw them. Looks exhausting. It's very funny. Last one, okay. Bill Begala says, your book seems like it's doing wonders for Teddy's insomnia. People are funny. They have great senses of humor. That's why they listen to the show. They're not liberals. You ever notice liberals don't have any sense of humor anymore? Mean, 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 mean. Well, I'll keep the pictures of Teddy coming on my Facebook, and I will definitely make sure his Schmendrick doesn't offend anybody. I didn't create him. God gave him one suit and one pair of shoes for his whole life. Now, I often look at a dog. You ever notice that when you give him something like a sock or like some rag or something that becomes theirs, how like you try to take it away, they go crazy. They snarl like a thing that loves you. Like they go nuts. Like suddenly they're like The Shining. It's like, because why? They have so little thing. They have such little in life. Dogs have nothing. Nothing. They have no house, no clothing, no car, no insurance. Nothing. So you give them a rag. That's their whole world. No wonder they fight over it. Now, I could make a comment now about illegal immigration, but I don't want to go there. But it's an easy jump cut, and we'll avoid that. When I come back, I'll take more of your calls right here on the Savage Nation. And we have some breaking news for you. Even if we don't, we'll make it up like CNBC. Right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Remember, you can call us at 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
I'm like hung up right now on Larry King. I mean, he's on a little network on RT, right? And I just remember, he was an icon on CNN for years. So I'm looking, I mean, we share so much in common. I didn't know that. His father died of a heart attack at 46. Died at 46 of a heart attack, and his mother had to go on welfare to support her two sons. King was greatly affected by his father's death, and he lost interest in school. And from an early age, he wanted to go into radio. Well, different than that, I mean, I kept going on to school. My father died of a heart attack very young. It wrecked me. I mean, I lost a lot of faith in life. But it's interesting. He and I have a lot in common. But what's most interesting is that both of us lost our fathers young to heart attacks, and we're still plowing along here very powerfully in the media. I find that amazing. In his case, it must be the garlic and women. I can't say what my secret is. It could be poodles and anguish. I would say poodles and anguish keep me going. It's a different thing this year. Like last year, I'm looking back when I promoted Stop the Coming Civil War, all the shows were in 1 week. I was on Alex Jones. I was on Jim Bohannon. I'm not going to be on Laura Ingalls' show till next week, and Alex Jones next week, and Jim Bohannon next week, and then the Larry King TV interview will be playing next week. So we're going to have a second surge about Government Zero next week when I replace some of the best pieces of these interviews. It's amazing. I think I'm going to get some garlic. I don't eat enough of it. I do. It's horrible. The dog runs out of the room at night. What can you do? Look, it's that's too personal, but there's definitely benefits to that stuff, Russian penicillin. KSFO, WABC, KVOR, WJR, KSFO. Stephan, WABC, go ahead. What's on your mind today?
Oh, all right. Let me begin. First of all, that saxophone playing, of course you can play that. You know what it is? It has to do with the way you articulate your notes. See, these guys, they were pioneers. They invented that way of playing the saxophone that had everyone, you know, just going crazy. A primo example is look at Louis Prima's sax player. You always hear Louis call him over. He's like, come on, Sammy, come on, Sam. And what happens is that these guys, they're jazz musicians, but what they're doing, Mike, is they're playing the blues scale. And it explains why you like B.B. King. It explains why you like some jazz. It even explains why you like a lot of these oldies, because they all riff this pentatonic scale, and they use these blues.
Wait, they all riff to what? Wait, sorry, Stephan. They riff to what scale?
It's the pentatonic scale. Penta meaning five.
No, I know what penta means. When you said, I didn't catch the pentatonic. And, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is the Pentagon and pentagrams are the devil. But I understand what you're saying. Pentatonic. So that's a little different than regular music?
Yeah, well, no, it's basically you take five notes out of the whole do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, el, si, do. You just take you take five notes out of there. Now, it's funny that you bring up the devil. Because this was, I've been meaning to talk to you about this, but I never had an excuse to. The reason why they call this the devil's music or the devil's interval is because it has, first of all, it has five notes plus this one sixth note. That's the devil's note. That's the blues note. That's what gets B.B. King, you know, you gripping to his music.
Oh, I love B.B. King. Are you saying, oh, so I'm being gripped by the devil? It figures.
Well, hang on. That's actually what I wanted to talk to you about, because I really feel like that's not true, because gospel music also uses a lot of these blues notes, also the pentatonic scale. See, what happened was that Socrates is the one who figured out that if you start on the first note of any scale, then you start on the fourth note and then the fifth note. That is God's progression. Now, those are God's notes. And what happens is in blues music, that's usually the progression they're doing, a one, a four, and a five. And then
I don't understand music at all. I just know what gets to me. Stephan, are you a musician?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know what? There's one thing that you said. You were like, if there's a few things that I can learn before I die, one of them would be speak Russian, and then the other one would be play the alto sax. And forever, I'm like, no, it's the tenor sax you want to play, not the alto. The alto.
maybe when I'm 80, I'll move to Russia as a tenor sax player. Maybe Putin will have me.
You know what it is? Just in case, God forbid something, you know, you're talking to the big man, and he's like, so you want to learn the alto? I want you to be like, no, it's actually the tenor that I want to learn.
So, where do you play music, Stephan?
To be honest, I produce a lot of my own music. I compose music myself, and I write my own music, because I can't listen to the garbage that they're putting out now. I mean, everyone knows.
All right, I'm going to do the same for you. That I did for the young Sam Gendel. You have any tapes you want to sell on the radio show? Give out the website.
Oh, my goodness. You know what's so... Oh, man. You know...
Don't worry. Hey, look, I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm going to send you a copy of Government Zero. When you get yourself a website, you got some CDs to sell, give us a call. What an incredible call that is, right? I mean, I learned something. I got to look up the penta thing and the schmenta thing and the henta and the hunta, the schmunta, the huntagram, the Huntagram, the Huntavirus. Yeah, that Hantavirus is dangerous. I mean, your mind's going into the Hantapenta. You clean out like attics. You got to watch out for the Hantavirus. Remember that was big about 3 years ago? Everyone was afraid of clean attics and basements. They were dying within 30 hours from the rat doo-doo. Ugh, what a world. SF Financial Trader goes missing in London. Actor model Sam Sarpong dies of apparent suicide. Never heard of him. SF Financial Trader dies missing in London. Let's see that story. Okay. Josh, 24-year-old man reported missing in London. First solo man gone missing after arriving in the city for a job interview. Well, okay, I have my own suspicions on these things. I hope he's fine. I hope he comes back. But, you know, if you play a little on the wild side, especially in a city you don't know too well, sometimes you wind up in the Thames, you know, or in a closet. I'm not saying him. I hope he comes back and he's fine and he was just wandering around the Chelsea Pier. Let's see another thing from the Psycho newspaper here in San Francisco. UC Davis researchers, that's an oxymoron except in veterinary medicine. Listen to this. Look at this crap. UC Davis researchers find sharing a husband may improve health, wealth of family. Can you believe this? Can you believe the garbage they put out? And what are they using as a model? Tanzania. UC Davis researchers found that practice of polygamy might boost the overall health and wealth of the family and benefit children. Yes, if you're living in Tanzania, morons. You fund this kind of research? This is unbelievable. I never saw anything like this. I told you there's zero science. I have a whole chapter on it in Government Zero. Science has been melted down by liberalism to the point where it has no meaning whatsoever. Want to learn more about polyamorous life? Earlier this year, the members of an Oakland household with two women and one man raising two children shared with the newspaper the benefits of their unique relationships and how they're making it work. You know what? Get back to me when your son is 16 and tell me how it works. Anyone could think it's working when you got two sluts and one a maniac there with two women who are and an infant. The infant, you don't know how it's going to work out till the children are 15. Then get back to me. Two nymphos there with the baby sitting underneath their lap. All right. It's an older viewpoint, that's all. I'm not from the other generation. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? Isn't that terrific? Oh, look at that. What a wonderful family. Oh, the family is not what it once was. Take a look at this doll in the fourth picture with the stomach, the pregnant stomach with a tattoo on it. That'll tell you all you need to know about the child's health at age 15. The women are looking at each other, I think, with more love than they look at the husband. Something tells me they use him as a beard altogether. Oh, yeah. I can see the tattoo on the pregnant stomach in picture 7. Now I understand already. And look at the poor innocent children they're using as bait. All right. Let's see. East Bay Band is targeting parents. Oh, really? Oh, you don't know what's going on. The crime wave here in the San Francisco area. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Let's see this story now. East Bay bandits targeting parents dropping off kids at school. What does that mean? Investigators in San Leandro are looking for a group of armed robbers who appear to be targeting parents dropping off the kids at school. Two robberies. The man was returning to his home and the same headbrunk went up dropping his kid. The man and his wife were approached by four suspects with handguns and robbed before the suspects took off in a dark colored Nissan Rogue. Of course, no one knows what race the suspects were. No one knows anything about them because it's the San Francisco area. The robbers forced the man into his backyard and ordered him to knock on the back door, get to his wife. The robbers stole the man's wallet and fled. This is the second robbery of this type in the past 3 weeks. Your tip may prevent this from happening again, said the police chief. Well, we'd like to give you tips, Mr. Police Chief. Can you please tell us what the robbers look like? Anybody have any idea what the robbers look like? You know, not a lot to say, because they don't look like Timothy McVeigh. Is that it? Okay, that's enough of the Bay Area. 855-407-282. Here's a great caller. Jason on WJR in the Detroit area. What's on your mind, Jason?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I was just wondering, now that you got Government Zero out of the way, if you might be interested in, or rather, if Teddy would be interested in, doing a book, Memoirs of Teddy. Be interested
you
to know?
Hear some, what if I tell you that it's been contracted, it's coming out next spring, and I'm going to die if I have to write it now, but I have to write it now. I started it two years ago. They sent out a great dog photographer, Vince Romini, who came out and did some pictures of me and Teddy last spring. He's coming back in a month, and we're going to do loads of pictures of him and me, you know, hanging out, riding around, eating, whatever. And there's going to be a Teddy memoir with pictures out next spring from Center Street Books, same publisher. Do you know that? Believe it?
I look forward to seeing that.
I bet you that book does better than all my others because people love this dog. It's not just, I don't think it's any dog. I mean, people love dogs, but this one is a unique animal. This guy is unbelievable. I mean, I'm sorry I showed him on Facebook with a full frontal. I didn't mean to do that, but he was sleeping on his back. What should I do? Get a pair of chimpanzee trousers for him?
Dogs are dogs. He's got a great...
Yeah, well, that's what they're called, dogs. I mean, if a homeless man does it in San Francisco, I'd like to see him arrested. But if a dog lays on his back, all right, you look the other way. That's all. So they're called dogs. We love them. They're a family hobo. Dogs are our family bums. They're born liberals. They lay around. They have no known source of income. All they do is beg for food. They expect you to give them something. They're totally narcissistic. Everything is about them. That's all. And they're cute. Stay on the line. I'll send you a copy of Government Zero right now on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO.
No, no, turn it off. I don't like it.
Look at this, another robbery in the San Francisco area. They're doing white people now in suburbs as they drop kids off at school. Listen to this one. On Monday, another man was returning to his home, less than a mile from the other robbery. After dropping his child off at Arroyo High School, the father was approached by three suspects, at least one of whom was armed. What, he didn't have arms? The robbers forced the man into his backyard. Listen to this. It ordered him to knock on the back door to get the attention of his wife, who was inside the home. But when she saw what was happening, she called the police, McManus said. The robbers stole the man's wallet and fled. Well, I guess she was racially profiling. You know, she probably didn't trust the guys who were holding up her husband because she was a racist. That's my guess. I mean, they didn't look like her husband, I would guess. I'm just a guess, just a wild guess in the dark. And she was so racist that she didn't let them in the home with the gun. That's because she hasn't been trained sufficiently yet by the government here. Brain. Thank God the woman had the wherewithal, but you know, they could have killed this guy. You know, these sound like kids. These sound like kids who think it's easy to just hold people up and no one's going to fight back. And by the way, it's smart he didn't. It's a good thing he didn't have a gun. Now, someone wrote this. The victims that we're seeing that are being targeted are Asian men in their late 50s. Who have just dropped their children off at school and returned from that, said San Leandro Police Lieutenant Robert McManus. Okay? You'll notice that that's not being reported in the main story. In both instances, 3 to 4 armed men followed the victims home after dropping their children off at high school. Okay? So the robbers are profiling the victims. Interesting. This is very interesting. Very, very interesting. Lack of a physical description. Once there's no physical description, you can assume what the physical description is. So don't say there's no physical description. This is the same mindset as CNBC. That's all. They function in the same mentality. No physical description. No height, no weight, no hair, no eye color, no nothing. No ethnicity. No ethnicity. They can't describe any ethnicity because that might promote heightism. That's all. That's the world you're living in, the madness. I could give it a zero, but I don't have to. You know where it all goes back. All roads lead to Rome in this case. Mom and Pop, what's this one now, ran $10 million Oxy ring out of pharmacies. Oh, $10 million Oxy ring? Mom and Pop ran $10 million Oxy ring. Oh, in Brooklyn. Oh, excuse me. Let's see the dolls they ran. A married couple ran one of the biggest illegal prescription pill rings in New York State history out of a pair of Chopin pharmacies they own in Brooklyn and Queens, flooding the streets with more than 500,000 Oxy pills over 5 years. Marcin Jakacki and his wife Lillian Jakacki, owners of Chopin chemist locations in Greenpoint and Ridgewood, even bought a swanky $2 million Connecticut home with some of the up to 15 mil they pocketed with the scam. Okay, well, all right, what are you going to do? They caught him? That's a bad thing, getting hooked on those pills. I got to thank God with my nature I never got hooked on drugs. I hated drugs. I was always too, high on my own to do drugs. I mean, I smoked pot. I hated it. I struggled with it for years. I had to do it to go along with the crowd. I always hated it because it made me very nervous. It set me back in life. I got to tell you, you guys who don't know what you're doing to yourself, why would you impede your brain with garbage like that? Why would you put filth into your brain? Why? Understand what I'm saying to you. In years to come, you'll wish to God you didn't waste your years with marijuana. It's the worst poison on the earth. Uncle Michael Savage saying goodbye and bye, Government Zero.